given a second chance. We read about such an individual in this portion of Scripture in Acts chapter 12. That individual is the son of Mary. We're told about him there in verse 12. And when he, that is Peter, had considered the thing after he'd been delivered from prison, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. John, whose surname was Mark. Where many were gathered together praying. John, whose surname was Mark, is one of those individuals that we read about in Scripture, who God in his grace gave a second chance. Men and women who, for one reason or another that we read about in the Word of God, men and women who, for one reason or another, failed in life, but God in grace gave them another opportunity. He gave them a second chance. And of course, when someone who is involved in the Lord's work, and for some reason or another they fall or they fail the Lord, then the devil wastes no time in telling that individual, basically, they are finished. He is quick to point out that God would not want, and they would never again use, such a failure. But we know that our adversary, the devil, we know, as the Lord said, he is a liar and the father of it. John 8 and verse 44. He loves to put down God's people, especially when they have failed or when they fall. And he seeks to convince them that the Lord would not have any further use for them. He would have them to live and defeat the rest of their days. But while there is a God of grace and mercy in heaven, it does not have to be that way. As we read in the book of Psalms, how often have we got comfort from the book of Psalms? For in Psalm 103, we have these words. In verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And again, as we read in the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 7, verse 19, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. And so when we fail the Lord will turn again towards us and will have compassion, and he will always be ready to give those who fail a second chance. One such individual was John, whose surname was Mark. It has been said that it's not how a man begins, But how he finishes, that really matters. John Mark did not begin his life of service for the Lord very well, but he most certainly finished well. And here in the portion of Scripture we have read tonight, we are introduced to this young man. We believe he was a young man. A young man called John, whose surname was Mark. There are 7 references to John Mark in the Gospel, or in the New Testament. And I would like for us this evening to look at those references and to follow the life of John as it is recorded here in the Word of the Lord. And see how God gave John, whose surname was Mark, how the Lord gave him a second chance. Was anyone here tonight, and you look back in your life, and you feel that you have failed, and you feel you cannot really serve the Lord as you once did because of your failure? I trust this will be a word of encouragement for you this evening. Regarding John, whose surname was Mark, here we are introduced to him. Here's the first reference to him. And here we're told about John Mark and his residence. It was a time of great persecution for the Christians and the Church of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem at this particular time. We have known that through the reading tonight in the opening 3 verses. James had been put to death, and because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he went then and proceeded to arrest Peter and shut him up in prison. How did the church respond to that time of persecution? Well, we're told in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And so the church held protracted seasons of prayer. They prayed without ceasing. And they prayed unto God for him. This was not the time for the church to go around the world in prayer. They concentrated their prayers for Peter. And some held prayer meetings in their own homes. They held prayer meetings in their own homes for Peter. And that is where we meet John, whose surname is Mark. We're told here something, first of all, about his home. When the Lord delivered Peter from prison, the apostle made his way to this particular home. We read that there in our text, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Mark the words. Many were gathered together praying. And so we see that in this home, there were those gathered together who had a burden for the work of God in Jerusalem, and in particular for Peter. Regarding John Mark's home, we notice it was a particular home. This wasn't just, as it were, any home, but we're told it was the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. So we're told whose home it was. This Mary was not only the mother of John Mark, But Mary was also the sister of Barnabas, one of the fellow laborers with Paul. We know that from Colossians 4 and verse 10. This was a home that was familiar to the likes of Peter, to Barnabas, and to other servants of the Lord. Obviously, the Apostle Peter was known there. For whenever he was delivered from prison, he went immediately to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. So obviously he was known there, because when Rhoda heard his voice at the door, she went back in again and said, "It is Peter, it's the voice of Peter." So he's well known there. So here we have a picture of a home there in Jerusalem. It is a particular home. It's the home of Mary, the sister of Barnabas, the mother of John Mark. It is a home that was often frequented then by other saints and the servants of the Lord. And so when you look at this particular home, we see just how involved this home was. Involved in the church at Jerusalem. We see just how involved this family was in the Lord's work, because they held a prayer meeting at home for the church being persecuted and for Peter in particular. That's the home that John Mark belonged to. It was a particular home. We notice also it was a praying home. This home of Mary became the house of prayer. It was certainly a home of great blessing. Good when our homes become houses of prayer. And here we are told that many were gathered together praying. This was like the home of Priscilla and Aquila. Paul in Romans 16 was recalling those who had assisted him, comforted him, and encouraged him in the ministry. And he mentioned Aquila and Priscilla. And he referred to them and the church that is in their house. The church that is in their house. And here was a similar house, a similar home. We see from the prayer meeting held in the house of John Mark that he and his mother and all who were gathered there had a burden for the church in Jerusalem. There's no doubt about that, because they held a prayer meeting. They and many others came together. They met in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Isn't it good when families in their own homes pray for God's work and pray for God's servants? For you see, our commitment to the work doesn't end when we walk out through the church doors. We ought to be praying for the Lord's work in our homes as well. And not only praying for the Lord's work, but for the Lord's workers and for the Lord's servants, that the Lord will keep them in good health, that they might continue to preach the word. Or when maybe it has been a disappointing day in the Lord's house, it is good when God's people go home and pray for the minister and say, "Lord, bless our minister who's discouraged today." It shows we have a burden for the work. That's the home that John Mark was brought up in. So we see, first of all, then, his home. Next, we see something of his honor. For we look at the next step, as it were, in his life, as recorded here. We look at Acts 12 again, and we go to the end of the chapter. In verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied in spite of the persecution. The word of God grew and multiplied. And that could be put down to the fact that many were gathered together to pray in the church and in their own homes. Then we read in verse 25, and Barnabas, the brother of Mary, remember, the uncle of John Mark, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry or fulfilled their charge, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And they went to Antioch, and they brought John Mark with them. Here we have Paul embarking upon his first missionary journey. And the missionaries went from Jerusalem to Antioch. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. They traveled all the way through Cyprus, ministering as they went. And then they sailed from Cyprus and went north to a place called Perga in Pamphylia. The overall journey from Jerusalem to Antioch to Cyprus to Perga, I estimated, going by land and sea, was a journey of over 600 miles. And John Mark, we're told, went with them. I believe John Mark is to be commended. To be commended for being prepared to leave home and to leave his mother, because we're not told anything about his father. It was the house of Mary. And usually it would be described as the house of the head of the house, which would be the father. But it's described as the house of Mary. So we may surmise that John Mark's father was dead. And so for John Mark to go along with Barnabas and Paul and go on that journey and leave home and leave his mother, I believe John Mark is to be commended for showing a great willingness to go. I believe this would have been particularly painful for John Mark. As I say, leaving home and leaving behind his mother and going to the mission field with Barnabas and with Paul. But then that's what it is to be a true disciple of the Lord. That's what it is to be a true servant of the Lord, as the Savior himself said. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And so here is the Lord speaking about what it is to be a disciple. And to be a disciple sometimes we are called upon to leave our homeland, to leave father, mother, husband, wife, and children, friends and family, and to go at the Lord's bidding, and to go for the sake of the Lord himself. That's what John Mark did. There was something which John Mark was willing to do, and that was to go with Barnabas and Paul. Isn't that something that is good? Isn't it good to see, particularly young people, show a willingness to go wherever the Lord may call them or lead them? The Lord may not call them to the mission field. The Lord may not call them into the ministry. The Lord may not call them to leave home and family and friends. But the commendable thing is that they are willing to go. That they willingly say, "Here am I, send me." In our martyrs' church in Belfast, there was an Easter convention held. And on the Saturday night, there's always a missionary meeting. Some of our missionaries are home in furlough, and they speak there at the Saturday night meeting. And they always preach a word that is a challenge to all who are gathered there. And it is wonderful to see the number of young people who indicate their willingness to go to the mission field if the Lord calls them. And out of that great number of young people, there may be only a handful, a few, who really do go and who the Lord really does call. But the point is this: it is good when we find young people who are willing to go. "See me on the altar lay, my life, my all, this very day. Oh, crown the sacrifice, now I pray. Send the fire. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service." And how good it is when young people particularly present their all upon the altar for the Lord, and they're willing to go where he may lead me. "I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary." Am I that something that will bring us to that place of surrender and that place of willingness when we remember Calvary and what the Lord has done for us? So things look very encouraging as far as John Mark is concerned. He left home. He was willing to go with Barnabas and Saul on their first missionary journey. And indeed, things got even more encouraging for this young man, because as well as his home and as well as his honor, he was honored to go with Barnabas and Saul. We notice also his help that takes us to the next step in his life as found here in Scripture. We go to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. In verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed on to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. There's John mentioned again. He has gone with them now. He's arrived in Cyprus. And we are told that as they preached, they had John as their minister. As their minister. The word minister that we have here is a word which means assistant or servant. Assistant or servant. So what do we have then? We have John Mark, and there he is in Cyprus with Barnabas and Paul, and he's assisting them. He's getting involved in the Lord's work. As we say, that word minister means assistant, and it means servant. And the Lord used the same word. In John 18 and verse 36, when the Savior himself was addressing Pilate and referring to his disciples, he called them my servants. Now it should be pointed out that John Mark was not called by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to be a missionary. We see that from Acts 13. And you look at verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. There's no mention of John Mark being called and sent forth by the Holy Ghost. We simply have John Mark going there with Barnabas and Paul to be their assistant, to help them, to minister unto them, to be their servants. He was willing and prepared to go and do whatever was necessary to help Paul and Barnabas as they preached the word. He just simply went and helped where he could. Isn't that commendable? From time to time, we have groups of young people from our churches. We just had a group of young people return home last week from Kenya, made up of young people from Canada and Northern Ireland. And they went out to Fame. They went out to Kenya, to the work of Fame, to do what they could. They were there for 2 weeks to dig, to help build, and indeed to hold children's meetings. None of them were called to the mission field. But what did they do? They went out there because they wanted to help. Another young group of young people went out from our church in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. They went out to Liberia, to Dave DeCanio and Miss Joanne Greer, our missionaries there. And again, they went out to do the same thing. If building work needed to be done, there were men there that could do it. If electrical wiring needed to be done, there were men who went out and they did that. If there was digging to be done, if there was building to be done, they went out. They went there to help. Whatever way they could, they went out there to help. That's what John Mark did. And he's to be commended. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul speaks there about those who were called to God. And you know something? The Apostle Paul also mentions helps. He also mentions those who are simply involved in the Lord's work just merely to help. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing and helps. Every church needs helpers. Every missionary needs helpers. And John Mark was simply a helper. So we have considered John Mark and his residence where he lived, in a home in Jerusalem. He has gone with Barnabas and Paul. He's gone to Cyprus, and then he's gone up north to Perga in Pamphylia. That brings us now to the next step in his life. From John Mark and his residence, we look now at John Mark and his return. Having been with the two missionaries in Cyprus, he went with them from, as we've said, from one end of Cyprus to the other, and then went from there to Perga, sailed on to Perga in Pamphylia. Acts 13, verse 13. Here's the next step in John Mark's life. Verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loose from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. Things aren't going so well for John Mark now. He showed great willingness to go at the beginning, leaving home, leaving his mother, leaving his friends. And he went with Barnabas and Paul. And he went with them through Cyprus. And he went with them to Perga. But then we are told, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. What happened? Wouldn't you love to ask him? Wouldn't you love to have an interview with him and say, John Mark, what happened? Why did you leave Barnabas and Paul? Why did you go home again? Well, here we have, first of all, his departure. John Mark, after doing so well, he returns home to Jerusalem. We don't know what happened. But we can surmise. And I believe there are a couple of clues here as to why John Mark went home. First of all, perhaps he was prompted to depart because of the conflict with hell. For you see, while at Paphos in Cyprus, Paul came face to face with Elymas the sorcerer. And Paul withstood him. My, it was a battle royal between good and evil. Between a servant of the Lord and a servant of hell. Because this Elymas, the sorcerer, was resisting Paul and the message and the gospel that he preached, and he was trying to turn Sergius Paulus away from the gospel and away from accepting Christ. And John Mark would observe this. And we read there in the verse 9 how Paul withstood this man. And he said unto him, that verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. John Mark observes all of this. This was something that John Mark was not used to. Was that the reason why John Mark then went home? He was a man, perhaps, that was not used to controversy. He was a man who, like many today, don't want to be involved in controversy. One who didn't want to be involved in any kind of conflict. Well, the man who wants to be a true servant of the Lord and will preach faithfully all the counsel of God will indeed be brought into conflict with the enemies of the gospel. It is inevitable. Because the devil, we know, he hates the gospel. What do we read in the book of Jude? We read these words in the book of Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jude said, with those, with individuals like that, you are to earnestly contend for the faith. The word contend is an interesting word. The word contend means to speak out loud. To speak out loud against the enemies of the truth. To speak out loud against the enemies of the gospel. And that's exactly what Paul did. And it was just after that that Barnabas departed. Went back to Jerusalem. Was that why he departed? He just wasn't a man for the conflict with hell. And then perhaps was another reason. Not just the conflicts of hell, but he thought about the comforts of home. The comforts of home. I feel it is interesting the way it is put there. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. That was home. Departing from them, John returned to Jerusalem. Did he think about home? And the mother that he left there? Did he think about home? And that comfort that he enjoyed there, that place that was so often visited and frequented by many of God's people. Now he's far from home. And he thought about home, and so he departed and returned to Jerusalem. You know, I don't think we fully appreciate what it is like for someone, a young man or a young woman, to be called to the mission field and to leave home and to leave mother and father. I remember reading about the great missionary John G. Patton. He was a missionary to the New Hebrides. I would love to have read his own account of his farewell. When he left home there in Scotland near Kilmarnock and had to walk 40 miles to Glasgow to begin his studies and to prepare for the mission field. I would love to have read his account to you tonight, but I couldn't. I would have been too emotional to read it. And I guarantee if you read it, you'll not be able to read it without weeping. John G. Patton leaving home. He describes the home that he was brought up in. And he speaks in particular about his father. And the great man of God his father was, and the great man of prayer his father was. And he talks about the day he had to leave home. And he talks about his father saying he would walk with him for 6 miles. I can't even hardly think about it now. He walked with his son for 6 miles and then came to the point where they had to part. And he said for the last half mile, there wasn't a word spoken between the two of them. And the father walked with tears streaming down his face. And then it came to the point of departure. And John Patton left his father after embracing him. The father wished him well and prayed for him and said, may my God be your God and go with you. And John G. Patton walked for a distance and then he stopped and looked back. And his father was still standing there. And he walked a bit further and the father was still standing there. So when you read a story like that, and you can get it online, just look at John G. Patton's farewell, and you'll find it. And when you read a story like that, brings home to you. It's not easy to leave home and to leave mother and to leave father, to leave brothers and sisters and go off to serve the Lord. You need the grace of God. Maybe that was why John Mark returned home. Our time is going fast, and we have not only his departure, but then we notice the decision about John Mark. Here's the next step in his life. We turn to Acts 15. There we read in Acts 15 and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia. And went not with them to the work, referring to whenever John Mark returned home. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus. They went back to Cyprus again. And Paul, we are told, took Silas. So there we have the two men, Barnabas and Paul. You'll notice the wording. Barnabas determined to take John Mark. Paul thought it not good. Paul had given it some thought. And he thought because John Mark had left them before, it wouldn't be good to take him with them this time in case he would do the same thing, in case he would go back again the second time. Wonder how John Mark felt about that. I'm sure at that point John Mark felt he was finished. He could no longer ever have a chance to serve the Lord. Especially when Paul chose Silas and took somebody else. There's John Mark left behind. You have the dispute because of John Mark. Sad to say, these two great men fell out one with the other over John Mark. And I'm sure John Mark thought about that as well. And these men fall out because of me. I have no doubt John Mark felt he was finished. But quickly, you have John Mark and his recovery. Something must have happened in the heart of John Mark while he was in Cyprus with his uncle Barnabas, because Paul, the man who earlier thought not good to take him with them, has a very different view of John Mark now. Quickly look at Colossians. Colossians 4 and verse 9. With Onesiphorus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, same man, because it says, Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. But that's not all. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have comforted, have been a comfort unto me. That's a different view that Paul has of John Mark now. He's back into the work. He's a fellow laborer with Paul. He's been a comfort to Paul. What did Paul say? These only. Others had left Paul, but not John Mark. There's a steadfastness. Not only do you have a steadfastness, you also have his service. We've already read that in Colossians 4 and 11. But whenever you go over to the book of Philemon, there in Philemon, we read in verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. There is mentioned again. Paul says he's my fellow laborer. The Lord has given him a second chance. And he has seized that opportunity. And now he's involved in the Lord's work. He's a steadfast man. He's a serving man. And he's a sought after man. There's Paul, and he's in prison. And he writes a letter to Timothy. And he says to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. The word profitable means very useful. He's very useful for me. And that's where we say farewell to John Mark. He's serving the Lord. He's very useful in the Lord's work, Paul said. Bring him with you when you come, because he's very useful to me in the ministry. All because the Lord gave him a second chance. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy and thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, in spite of what the devil tells us. When we feel thee, we're glad, Lord, that thou art a God who's ready to giving one of thy fallen soldiers a second chance. And, O Lord, I pray thou would write this word upon hearts this evening. And should anyone hear, Lord, have the same experience as John Mark, and think there's no more that they can do for the Lord, I pray this word will be a comfort to them, knowing that God will give them a second chance to serve him. Lord, bless each one here tonight as we part the one from the other. and all who were here, Lord, for a short season of vacation. May it be a time of spiritual and physical refreshment. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.